Let's pray. God of steadfast love and faithfulness, you have exalted your name and your word above everything. By the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to hear your word with understanding, that in our speech and actions we may exalt your name above all things. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The gospel reading today is in Matthew. It's on page 1505 if you want to follow as I read that. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Who do you look at? Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. One who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the laws and the prophets. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, we ask that you would help us to see you as our true judge, that you would help us to turn away from judgment in a way that is harsh and critical and destructive, and move towards a life that builds one another up. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy now. Y'all know that. Come on now.
Don't worry. I'm just trying to get something more comfortable. Trying to get a little more comfortable seat. I don't know. This seat's fine. It's got a cushion. But man, if I had this every Sunday up here, boy, howdy. All right, woo. This is what I am talking about. Oh, yeah. Man, we all just need to relax. Y'all feeling that a little bit? Man, this world is harshing my mellow. Y'all feeling it? Y'all need to stop judging. It says that right there in the good book. Don't judge lest you be judged, right? Y'all seen that? Right, wrong, who cares? You do you, every one of y'all. Just sit back, relax, stop judging. The man with all his rules and regulations just trying to mess with your life, man. Just chill out. Everybody feel it? Y'all feel your shoulders? Just back up a little bit. Oh, yeah. Where's my drink? This is the problem with the first verse of Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Do not judge, lest you also be judged, right? There's some guy that's going to come at you and go, man, everything's cool. Laissez-faire, utopian, everything's all right. Attitude towards the world, right? You do whatever you want to do. And you can see why Jesus says, do not judge so that you may be judged on its own. It reads like a prohibition from all judgment, right? That's what it sounds like. It sounds like Jesus saying, never judge ever. Now, I'm not sure any of us would want to live in a world that is completely free of judgment, without some boundaries in place, overboard, potentially hurting others and themselves. Even the most extreme live and let live communities. You ever heard of the rainbow people that gather on the federal land, right, and they get together? These are like the most live and let live people, and they have rules. They have boundaries. They make judgments because otherwise they can't be a community, right? So judgment kind of has its place. The truth is, we need judgment in our lives. I can remember when I was 16 and maybe a little experimental, decided I was going to attempt a new hairstyle. So I went up, I got some gel, and I said, I'm gonna rock a spike. Yeah, this is going to be the new thing. This is going to work. I might get some dates after this. This might be it. And I walked into school very confident of myself and my new look. And my friends let me know, in only the way good friends can let you know, that that look was not working for me. And you need those people in your life, don't you? Think about that. Friends that hold you accountable. This is why celebrities go off the deep end. They all have yes men around them. They get rid of all their real friends and they just surround themselves with people that are like, oh, you're so cool. Oh, that is so awesome. I can't believe you even, I didn't think of that. As opposed to going, whoa, 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 what is up with that dress? Put that thing away, go get something real on. Or, man, what are you doing with your hair? What is happening here? We need people to call us out on stuff that we're doing wrong or silly, right? We need people in our lives to hold us accountable. So in that case, judgment isn't a bad thing per se here. But you need those people in your life that aren't going to just destroy you, but people who will gracefully, gently criticize you to help you grow and mature. And otherwise, I would be convinced that all my ideas were great ones. And that is clearly not the case. So, a little judgment, helpful judgment, can make our lives better and strengthen us as people. So, then we have to start reckoning, okay, well, then what is Jesus saying in verse 1 here? What is he talking about? Jesus is not saying never judge, but rather be careful when you judge, because you will be held to the same standard. Judgment, not unlike our wealth we talked about last week, can be used to build up or to tear down. And I think we have all witnessed firsthand what harsh and destructive judgment does to people and to communities. I cannot tell you how many horror stories I have heard from Presbyterian pastors about churches that have turned their laser sights on a pastor or a member of a congregation and have utterly destroyed their prospects for ministry and in turn hurt the church itself. Pastors who have retired but actively undermined the work of the pastor coming in after them, leading the congregation to a split. Members forming a clique, becoming the de facto decision makers, overruling any decisions made by the deacons and the elders and the trustees. Ann told me this story once. When it happened, she was working at this big church on the north side of Indianapolis. And the Sunday that they had was this beautiful youth Sunday where the kids and the teens participated in all aspects of worship. The Monday after, there was a note in the box of the youth pastor. And on that note, it said, so-and-so pronounced the Hebrew word wrong when they were reading from Exodus. Please correct them and get it right next time. Sincerely, I'm not going to write my name because I'm a crazy person. Whoa! Who in here knows Hebrew? Raise your hands. I barely know Hebrew. And yet, this person, right, felt that they needed to criticize them on a Hebrew word. By the way, Hebrew, the Hebrew that was spoken in the Bible, is a dead language. Felt that they needed to be critical of this person when they should have been happy that they had teenagers who wanted to get up in front of people in the first place. This is the kind of judgment that breeds nothing but destruction and a lack of respect for one another. It doesn't build, it tears down. And we have all had those people in our lives that judge us just to tear us down. Not for any good reason, but just to destroy. Jesus is clear. When you judge someone harshly, you too will be judged harshly. And I get it. We all have that overcritical bone in our body, that desire to tear someone down just because we can. I have that urge. I have to fight the urge all the time. I feel like I have this like mini Simon Cowell from American Idol on my shoulder, constantly saying things like, "That was terrible. America will hate you." This destructive criticism comes from a feeling of superiority, right? That's where it comes from. That I know more than you. I know better than you. I'm a better person than you. I can stand up on my high tower and criticize you and tear you down when probably I am guilty of the exact same things I'm criticizing you for. It's a feeling of superiority that we have something on people. You see this playing out in our politics on both sides. This destructive, aggressive criticism that seeks not to build up, to create a common good, but to destroy and tear apart. And you see it from both sides of the aisle. Being overly critical is not a kingdom value. It is not generative. It is not positive. It is not productive. But Jesus calls us to renounce that urge. Smack that Simon Cowell right off your shoulder. Get him out of there. Get that British dude off your shoulder. Put it away. Come down off Mount Pius and see that you also have flaws. And you too are a broken person just like the person you're criticizing. Now I know this is easier said than done. We have to think about how we can turn that part off of us. Because if you're anything like me, I have very well cultivated my sense of critical judgment. I am very good. I can spot you all from a mile away. I know everybody. But that's not helpful. That doesn't help me get to know you. It doesn't help me to get to know your story. And all it does is destroy the possibility for a relationship. So how can I follow Jesus' command to stop judging others harshly? Only by the grace of God is it possible. to the next section after Jesus talks about judgment. He talks about knocking, asking. He says, I know you can't do this. I know you're not capable of living into not judging someone harshly, because that's just who we are as human beings. But with me, it's possible. So I need you to keep asking. I need you to keep knocking. I need you to keep seeking my grace. Because if you're seeking my grace constantly, all of a sudden, that desire, that urge to tear down will start to go away. And you will start to realize how to use good judgment to build up your neighbor instead of hurting them. But we can't do it without God's grace, and we got to keep knocking. We got to keep seeking it. We got to keep banging on God's door and saying, please, God, I need this. I need your grace to do this, because every day I get up and I need to get rid of that part of me that wants to tear down, destroy my fellow human being. We need to ask God for grace multiple times, saying, Lord, help me stay faithful. Everybody say that. Lord, help me stay faithful. I need you to lean on this grace. I need you to return to it constantly, because it is in it and through it that we can learn how to love one another. We can learn then, and this is where it gets to that last part, because do unto others as I would undo to me, that's been in a lot of places. Jesus, that wasn't an original for Jesus. That's been in cultures throughout history. But Jesus applied it to this context for a reason. Because I could be a bad dude, and I would say, I would like people to do bad things to me, therefore I can do bad things to you. This, do unto others as you would have undone to yourself. Oh, that can go bad real quick, right? But Matthew and Jesus place it where he places it for a very particular reason. Only until you learn how to stop judging, you learn how to lean on God's grace, learn that you are a broken people and constantly in need of God's grace, can then you learn how to treat others as you would want to be treated. Because you know who you are in relationship to God. And then you know what your neighbor's relationship with God is too. And you can figure out how you need to relate to them. That's the cross, right? God and me and neighbor to one another. So seek God's grace. If you got to knock on the door, go knock on the door. But remind yourselves that you need it each and every moment, so that you can turn off that part of you that wants to tear down and destroy, like little Mary over here, right? Here's Jack's list. How many times have you all done that? That's my spouse too much, right? Oh, here's the list. See what you've done this week. Stop. Stop. Seek God's grace and find a way to love and to build up in all that we do. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.